name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are so very grateful for those who are serving in this congregation from all age groups. And I've got to just mention that I noticed Garrett's voice this morning. Thank you for reading. His voice has changed. Anybody else noticed? Oh, yes, you did. I was watching him. Do you remember when my waist was that size and that I had that much hair? Do you remember? I don't even remember it anymore. Garrett, we're so grateful. Thank you. It's a tough, tough gospel. It's a tough gospel. And this is why. I am going to offend at least a third of the room in the next 5 minutes, and the other two-thirds in the following 10 minutes. It's that tough a gospel. Do you remember the decade when we all were told to stop smoking? And we were all told to stop smoking because it was killing us. Do you remember this? And there was the very public smokers. See, I've already offended at least 10. There was the public smokers, and then there was the private smokers, and then there was the secret smokers. Let me just up front tell you that I stopped smoking when I married Joyce, and she gave me two choices. One involved affection. You heard me. Affection. And the other choice was smoking. And I thought about it for a long time and then made a healthier choice. We grew up in tobacco country, folks. Simcoe, Delhi, Port Dover. You didn't dare jump into the tobacco campaign. It's where your bread and butter came from. Half the public facilities were built by tobacco farmers. Sometimes when you take a stand, you got to figure out, am I prepared to die on this ledge for these convictions? Who gets sick? Why do they get sick? Who gets hurt? Why do they get hurt? These are really natural questions for every single one of us. I remember the first time that a close friend died from lung cancer, and they'd never smoked a cigarette. What? How does that make sense? We have a natural inclination to need to know that there's cause and effect for everything. Our deacon and I have this debate regularly. She would like to know why. Do you hear that? All the time. She wants to know how, when, why, where. And what? All the time. And that's completely legitimate and human experience. We want to know why people get hurt. We want to know why people get sick. And we want logic given to us. That's our human condition. It's part of who we are. But Jesus challenges that in this gospel. And he says there isn't always an answer. A matter of fact, more often than not, there's not an answer. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to all people. And there isn't always an answer. And it's actually not our job to know the how, what, when, why, where. What did I miss?
How.
It's really not our job. Our job is to serve the Lord to the best of our ability using technology. To serve the Lord to the best of our ability and then to leave the cause and effect in God's hands. Now, I warned you at the beginning that this was going to be tough. But the second half doesn't get any easier. You see, when Jesus says, "Let me tell you a story," he is about to drop the bomb. I'll never forget the guy at Trinity Church, Cambridge. Hope he's watching. Who met me at the door one Sunday and said, "Young man, they always turn you out wet behind the ears with a lack of life experience. When are you going to stop telling stories? Jesus never told stories." And at that exact moment, I knew which category to put that man in. The category, "I'm always going to offend you," category. It's not intentional, it's just going to happen because I'm going to continue to tell stories. Today, thank heavens, I don't have to find one. There's one in your gospel. And Jesus tells the story about a tree, fig tree. Did some research. They're about that big. Some of them are blood red. They start green. You know, they're ripe when they're blood red. And I'm sure I'll never taste one because it's healthy for you. Jesus looked. He'd seen them. He knew where they were. So he tells the story, and it went a little bit like this. You see that fig tree over there? It doesn't have any fruit on it. Cut it down. Burn. Yank it. It has no fruit. Get rid of it. Now, it really sounds like a simple story, but it has many, many layers. Let me try and condense it in this way. You need to know the 3 years that's mentioned in the gospel story is representing the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. The tree is actually representing the Holy Land, sort of, until it gets personal. Hold on, almost there. And of course, the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. The tree produces the fruit, but for us, it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's joy, hope, love, peace, and the list goes on. In other words, when people meet us, is there absolutely any evidence that we believe in Jesus? That's what it really comes down to. Some of you have heard me say, "Are people happier when you walk in the room or when you leave?" But it's bigger than that. It's, are you that light that shines in the midst of the many dark experiences of life? Can people see in you the fruit of the Spirit? Because the gospel is that personal. It is about every single one of us. And the truth is, only we can really make the decision. Unless you love somebody honestly, love somebody honestly enough to say, "Here it is, watch. Do you see any fruit of the Spirit in me at all?" No, we'll pause. I'm always nervous at the answer. Do you love somebody enough to ask them that question? And are you ready for the answer without having the rebuttal ready? It's a tough, tough reading. Because it really does talk about God's grace and mercy in giving us more time to work it out. More time to find the fruit of the Spirit. More time to find our joy, our hope, our love, our peace, our grace and our mercy with others. Oh, did I mention ourselves? Because I've come to believe that for many, the hardest thing in the world to do is to forgive themselves rather than to forgive others. And until we can forgive ourselves, it's so hard to forgive others. And so here it is. As complicated as the passage seems to be, we are given more time. We are given time to work out the wounds and the hurt and the anger and the frustration and get to a point where there is peace in our lives. Did you know that that spot right there has profound significance? It's the center of the cross of the building. Did you know that? Do you know how important that is? People get married right there. Right there. We even drag the baptismal font over there. The spiritual journey starts there. It continues there. If confirmation was in this building, it would happen there. And last but not least, the casket sits right there. From beginning to end, the center of the cross. Symbolically, in our Anglican experience, the most pivotal moments of life happen right there for every single one of us. Yesterday, Jim laid right there. Right there. Gentlemen, I don't want to scare you. That's not the intent. I just want to bring in awareness. He was 61. I'm going to pause for your body to break into a cold sweat. Because mine did. 61. Wait a minute. Some of us are aiming 90, 95. At least 90. At least 90 and healthy. The point the gospel's trying to make, and this is where I offend the rest of the room, so I will apologize now. You and I have absolutely no idea how long we have. So here's a suggestion. Don't wait till tomorrow for the hugs you can give today. Don't wait till tomorrow for the kind affirmations that you can speak today. Don't wait to extend your generosity to others till tomorrow when it can be done today. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have no idea how long we have. And that was Jesus' point. Take the opportunity to repent and begin again. Begin again and live this day with every ounce of love and passion you can. I want to close in this way. We have a couple people that won't mind if I refer to them, and so I'm going to, which is how I offend the rest of the group. John, how many miles a day? You're doing 15 kilometers on your bike a day. I'm doing 15 minutes back and forth to the fridge. Until recently, when my doctor explained it to me in a way that I could understand, he actually gave me a time limit. He told me how long I had left. Man, I hate him. I hate anybody that tells me the truth. Isn't the truth painful to hear when we don't want to hear it? I've loved the man since I was about 15 years old, but I got to tell you, in that moment, I hated him because he spoke the truth. Did you say 15 a day? I'm not going to ask. But I know this. For John, that's what works. For some of us, it's a diet. For some of us, it's running. For some of us, it's walking. For some of us, it's yoga. But I got to tell you, that ain't pretty. For every one of us, it's something different, but it's getting up and getting started. And let me finish here. It's getting up and getting started because there will come a time and the Lord will meet you face to face and say, "Where's the fruit?" Amen.